thankful for the spiritual blessings in our life. So that will aid you in your pursuit of purity. Then we talked about living on earth and longing for heaven. The older I get, the more I'm learning that one. God has placed me here at a particular time for a particular purpose. I'm glad to be here. But, man, I long for my heavenly home. The more you have a desire for heaven, the more you want to live a pure life. I guarantee you that. We spent two messages talking about living like the King. Jesus lived a life of submission, lived a life of service, lived a life of sacrifice. The highest goal of my life is that I might be more like Him. The more you're like Him, the easier you'll find it to live a pure life on this earth. I want to be more like the Master. You understand? Then next we talked about the importance of not being cold, corrupted, and confused. Don't fall away from the one that loved you so much that he gave himself for you. There's too many of us in our churches that are living backslidden lives if we're really saved. But if we're really saved, there's so many of us that are so backslidden that we act more like the world than we do the children of God. We act more unsaved than we do saved. Last time we talked about living life with purpose. Keep focused on who you really are, what you're about, what you're supposed to do. As the old saying goes, keep your eyes on the prize, if you will. So all of these things will aid you, will help you, I think, in your pursuit of purity of life. God said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." That should be our desire. That should be our goal. You see. Now today, I simply want to tell you that the source, I think, of all of this, the beginning of all of this starts up here and in here. And so I want to tell you that the battle is really for your mind. Now, listen to the way the Apostle Paul way he puts it in verse number 8 and 9 of our text. I think about these verses quite a bit. When Paul said, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report," he said, "if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. And those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do." And he said, "The God of peace shall be with you." Now let me just quit my scripture reading right there and read those two verses of scripture. And I want to talk about the fact that the battle is really for our mind. This is where it really all begins. And when I'm talking about our mind, I'm talking about, many times the Bible calls it our heart, but it really is talking about the very center of what we are. You see. Folks, the battle is for your mind. Can I just say this to you? You cannot live a consecrated life if you have a corrupted mind. You cannot live a separated life if you have a sinful thought life. You can't do that. You can't live a victorious life if you're vile in your thought life. And so the battle is for your mind. I started to call this very simply, listen, stop your stinking thinking, you know. If I could learn that in my life, do any of you have trouble? I mean, be honest, when you're all by yourself, do you have trouble with your thought life? And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, man, why in the world am I thinking junk like that? So stop our stinking thinking. Listen, Jesus said, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." That tells you a lot about yourself. If you really start to examine your thought life, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." Jesus did say that, you see. Now, I'm going to be repeating myself a lot in this regard, but there's a famous old statement. I think I have it on the screen. Someone as well said, listen, if you sow a thought, you will reap an action. If you sow an action, you will reap a habit. If you sow a habit, you will reap a character. And if you sow a character, you will reap an eternal destiny. So that adds a lot of weight to how important it all begins with a thought. So, yes, stop your stinking thinking. That would be a better title for this. That will go a long way in aiding us, helping us in pursuit of purity of life if we realize it begins with our mind. Now, think about this. Listen, we all have an amazing machine in our skulls, in our heads, that we call a brain. Now, with some of you, that might be questionable sometimes, but I really think all of us have a brain. You may not have the highest IQ in the world. I don't know. You may be like me. You are average IQ at best, maybe below average on intelligence. That's where I fall, perhaps. But irregardless of where we fall in that spectrum, we all have an amazing machine in our skulls that we call a brain. God has done wondrous things when He designed our brains. I read as I was studying for this, they say that the average person has more information stored in his brain than is found in all 17 million volumes of the Library of Congress. Isn't that amazing? My problem is being able to access it sometimes. I don't know how to access all the information I supposedly have up there. And when I have a thought, sometimes something comes and steals it away. I'm finding that more and more as I get older. But if you think about that, we have more information in these brains God has created than all these 17 million volumes in the Library of Congress. That is an amazing thing if that is even close to being true. The psychologists tell us that the average person has about 10,000 thoughts per day. Now, I don't know what nitwit thought to sit and count how many thoughts they had, because I'd be concentrating on that so much, I'd quit having any other thoughts. But the average person, they say, has about 10,000 thoughts per day, with the possible exception of men. I Belinda and I will be laying in bed sometimes and we read a book, and I'll just lay my book down and I'll be staring at the ceiling fan, and I get mesmerized watching that thing go round and round. And she'll look at me after a while and say, boy, you must be having some deep thoughts. No, not really. I'm like a child. I'm mesmerized by that ceiling fan. If she give me one of the things you put in the baby crib, man, she'd have it made. But the average person has about 10,000 thoughts per day. And that's amazing. Now, thought life is still yet a mystery to science. They haven't figured out. God is so wondrous and so marvelous, it's got scientists baffled about how the thought life really works. It's a mystery. But let me tell you what is not a mystery. What you think will determine what you do. That's not a mystery. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So the basis of all that I'm saying really is it begins in your mind. Am I making sense to you? So folks, the battle really is for your mind. Now, let me give you a text. I can't remember if I put it on the screen or not, but it is a sister text to this. And you remember in Romans chapter 12, when Paul said, finally, when he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, he says, which is your reasonable service. I like that verse. But then he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by what? By the renewing of your mind. that you may prove or that you may know. You say, well, preacher, I want to know what God's will is for my life. Well, listen, God does not want to keep it a secret from you. That you may prove, that you may know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And again, what I'm saying, what Paul's teaching us, the battle is really for our mind. And so what we've got to be concerned with believers, folks, we've got to have a transformed mind. We got to think differently than anybody else in this world. Stop your stinking thinking. And we can learn that it'll save us a whole lot of heartache, I guarantee you. Now, look at it like this also. Whenever a surgeon performs surgery, he is very meticulous about how he scrubs and how he washes his hands. When I was in 91B medic training back in the early 80s out in Fort Sam Houston, 91B combat medic is really a Band-Aid course. For medics, you know. But I remember that they taught us how to scrub. And man, they was very meticulous. They were very particular about how you washed your hands. Now, why is that? You do not want a surgeon performing surgery with dirty hands. Right? Well, listen, as believers, as children of God, we have a ministry to perform on this earth. And listen, we cannot do it with dirty minds. Folks, listen, they must be clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. That's what the Bible says. You must be clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. So just like the surgeon must cleanse his hands, as believers, Bible teaches us we've got to cleanse our mind. You've got to have a pure thought life. Because again, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I'm trying to say it in so many different ways, but folks, it begins with your mind. The battle really is for your mind. Does that not make sense to you? And so you've got to, now listen, Christianity, what you find out in the Bible, Christianity is not about all the externals. We've done a lot of damage in our Baptist churches because we hooked up with Frank Norris, and when he started the so-called fundamentalist, he'd been credited with starting the so-called fundamentalist movement. And I want to tell you, the fundamentalist movement has done a lot of damage in our Baptist churches because now, in recent years, we've been all about the externals. How many times have you heard a preacher get in the pulpit and waste your time by talking about how wicked you are, ladies, if you put a pair of pants on? We're all about the externals, yeah, aren't we? Well, listen, in truth, in the Bible, Christianity is not so much about all the, it's not about a list of rules you got to follow and all the do's and the don'ts that you're so afraid that you're going to break sometimes and be embarrassed in front of these kind of preachers. I'm so sick of that. It just drives me nuts. Christianity is not so much about all the externals. Christianity is about the internal things. Because Christianity is a matter of the heart. And of the mind. And of the soul. And by the way, the internal things are much more difficult than the externals. I can put on a show in front of you and think you think I'm the holiest person in the world because I dress a certain way and I look a certain way. And inside, I'm full of dead men's bones. Christianity is all about the internals. It's not a list of do's and don'ts so much. It is a matter of your heart and of your mind. I'm trying to emphasize it is important if you're struggling with sin in your life and you're trying to quit this and quit that and don't do this and don't do that, you're missing the target. You better start in cleaning up your mind and cleaning up your heart. I guarantee you most of every time when someone falls in sin, it is just a manifestation of what's already been going on in the mind. Guarantee it. You're feeding your mind on the wrong things. And so that's what you think. Now, let me give you a real life example, a couple of them. You remember when David killed Goliath, that giant of a man. And took a little sling and a stone and killed one of the mightiest warriors on earth. When David did that, man, his fame began to spread across the earth. They began to sing songs about David. Saul has slain his thousands. David has slain his 10,000. Well, when Saul heard that, almost immediately a jealous thought entered his mind. And that thing brewed, that thing festered and fermented to the point where Saul sought to kill David. It all began with his mind. David himself, when he committed his famous sin with Bathsheba, as a result of that sin, the sword never left David's house for the rest of his life, and he lost his firstborn child. But I want to tell you, that whole sordid affair began in David's heart and in his mind. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You got to clean up your thought life. Now you say, preacher, I can't help what I think. It just happens. You ever do that? Even Paul said, you know what? Even when I do good, evil's present with me. You ever been in God's house when you ought to be paying attention to the boring sermon and your mind just wandering on everything else? That's what Paul said. Even when I do good, evil's present with me. You say, preacher, I can't help what I think. These impure thoughts, they just happen. They just occur. I can't help it. I beg to differ. Folks, because what you feed your mind is what you're going to think about. Feed your mind. And this is the point of these two verses of Scripture. And by the way, Paul doesn't just say, you know what? I don't want you to have any more bad thoughts. Because that's an impossibility. He rather took a positive step and said, he didn't just say, I want you to stop thinking bad things. He said, no. I want you to think about good things. I want you to think about God's things. Now, the reason that is important, let me give you an experiment. And this is an important experiment because, folks, what you think about really is what you do. Now, do this experiment. Imagine a rhinoceros on the plains of Africa. If you have to close your eyes, picture that in your mind and get that picture of that rhinoceros in your head. Have you got it? Now stop thinking about that rhinoceros. You can't do it, can you? That rhinoceros is there. That's all you're going to be thinking about the rest of the service. You can't stop thinking about something. However, for you to stop thinking about something, you've got to replace it with something else. So now think about a long-necked giraffe in the plains of Africa eating leaves out of the top of the trees, as I've seen them do on Wild Kingdom. Nobody here knows what Wild Kingdom is, do you? Some of you do. But think about that long-necked giraffe. You know what? You have stopped thinking about the rhinoceros. So it's not enough for me to stand here and tell you, folks, you shouldn't think about this stuff. Because the more I tell you, don't think about that rhinoceros, the more you're going to think about it. It's not enough for me to tell you what you should not do. What Paul does, he tells you what you should be thinking about. He says, stop your thinking, yes, but think on these things. Feed your mind on the things of God. If you get off Facebook, get in God's book, you'll start thinking about the right things, right? Now, by the way, the word think there is an interesting word in Greek. It means to literally to meditate upon, to ponder, and it carries such strength. It means to meditate on it in such a way that it will change your behavior. Am I making sense? I don't know if I'm just swatting the wind or not. But it's a matter of that your thought life will affect your physical life and your behavior. So Paul says, stop your stinking thinking, yes, but think on these things instead. And he gives us a list of things. William Barclay, I don't know if I put this on the screen or not, but I read some what other men had to say. And William Barclay said this. He said, listen, it is a law of life that if a man think on something long enough and often enough, he will come to the stage where he cannot stop thinking about it.
I'm going to tell you, the devil wants to corrupt your mind. And you'll have that stuff stuck in your mind from now on if you're not careful. So, stop your stinking thinking. The battle is for your mind, is what I'm talking about. So, let me work my way through these very quickly. And I really got a boogie here. Got to move. I said I wasn't going to say that no more. I got to move. In the first place, here's the examples Paul gives us. He says, number one, you've got to think honest thoughts. Now, I'm combining some of these, but here's what Paul says. He starts out by saying, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. Think on these things. He starts out by the ideal being, keep all on truth, keep all dishonesty, all falsehoods out of your mind. And man, if we can learn that, what a difference that would make in our lives. It really would. By the way, the good news is a person can only have one thought at a time. Try it sometimes. You cannot think more than one thought at a time. So make the most of your thought life. Whatsoever things, he says, are true. Whatsoever things are honest. He says, think on these things. Now, there's a couple of things involved here. Number one, in order to do that, you must exclude that which is false. He says, whatsoever things are true. Listen, folks, don't waste your time dwelling on things which are false. You say, what do you mean? There was a time in my life when I was infatuated. I was so enamored in studying all the false teachings of different churches in this world. Now, that would be okay in moderation. But let me tell you, if you get hung up on it, for example, when I was in Bible college, I had a class called Major Cults. And I got so hung up on it, I started buying every book I can about all the different cults in our land. And man, I could tell you what the Mormons taught, what the Jehovah's Witness taught, Seventh-day Adventists, different groups like that. And that, again, that might be okay and to a degree. But let me tell you, it will damage you spiritually if all you do is study false teachings. For example, those law enforcement agents who are involved in counterfeit money, when they take their training, they don't spend all their time studying all the different counterfeit monies in this world. That would drive you crazy. There's so many different ways people invent to rob people, you know. They're good at it. So they don't waste all the time looking at all the different counterfeit money. You know what they do? Rather, they study the real thing, the real article, the genuine article, so thoroughly that they can spot a fake a mile away. They study that which is true in order to know that which is false. Are you getting my drift? You've got to exclude all these falsehoods out of your life. Give you another example. When the Apostle Paul, and he does it time and time again, whenever he warns us about false teachings and about false teachers, he does not spend all of his time chronicling all the false teachings there are out there. It would just consume you if you did that. Rather, he wants us to know the truth so well that we can spot a fake a mile off, you see. Now, I've gotten myself in trouble before because I got so hooked up in trying to studying that which is false. I may have told you this story before. One time when I was in Bible college, my partner and I, buddy and I, in class together, we decided to attend a tent revival at Beckley, West Virginia. And now, in the 80s and 90s, for better or worse, tent revivals was usually taken over by the extreme charismatics. I mean, we went into that thing, and we walked in. They had the side of the tent rolled up, didn't have a door, and there was a rock band on the stage just going at it. And we sat all the way back in the back and documenting all this because we were going to make a report to the class. We were being scholarly. And this woman got up to preach, and she'd speak in tongues a while, and she'd preach a while, she'd speak in tongues a while. And I told you this before. All of a sudden, she hollered, "Stop!" And when she hollered, "Stop!" you could hear crickets. The rock band stopped playing. people stopped dancing. And she said, reach out and touch somebody and let them know you love them. Now, if I tell you to turn around and shake hands or shake hands with your neighbor, everybody turns around, right? When that whole crowd, it wasn't a big crowd, 30-some people. When that 30-some people turned around, all they saw was me and Barry back there by ourselves. And the whole group came after us. Yeah. They were going to touch us. And we made a hasty retreat. I told Barry, I said, let's get out of here. By the way, they let the tent side down. They didn't have a door, so we had to jerk the tent up. And we got out of there. But that taught me a valuable lesson. Don't spend all your time. I've heard preachers get in the pulpit, and they spend all their time trying to teach us what all these false religions. Listen, preach the truth enough, and you'll be able to spot falsehoods a mile away. So, in the first place, when he says, whatsoever things are true, you've got to exclude that which is false. The second thing, you've got to extol that which is true. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, think on these things. Now, by the way, the word honest is a very interesting word in the Greek also. It literally speaks of that which is noble, or that which is, for example, I'll give you an example. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, it's the same. Paul uses the same word when he talks about how deacons ought to be and how their wives ought to be. He uses the word grave. Same Greek word. Later on, he uses that again about elder men. Elder men ought to be grave. Same word as the word honest here. It means respectable. So how does it relate to our subject? Spend your time thinking on things which are respectable. Keep the garbage out of your mind and see what happens to you. So, number one, and it's after 12, I got to hurry. I got five of them. Number one, think honest thoughts. Number two, think holy thoughts. He says, whatsoever things are just and whatsoever things are pure, he says, think on these things. Think on honest thoughts, think on holy thoughts. Now, again, in two ways. Number one, accentuate that which is fair. He says, whatsoever things are just. By the way, the word just in the Greek is interesting. It means things that are right. It can be translated righteous. When we talk about being righteous before God now because of Christ, you know what it means? We are right. Think on those. Now, folks, listen, there's a lot of bad stuff in this world. There's a lot of injustice and a lot of dishonesty. If you spend all your time thinking about how bad this world is, it will eat you alive. I said this to you. I had to wean myself off Fox News. When I was a kid, Daddy would watch news. We had two channels. It was Network News, Walter Cronkite, and Peter Jennings. Was that who? I don't remember who they were. Because I sat there and was human, I thought, man, who in the right mind could want to watch the news? You know. Well, when I got older, guess what? That's all I want to. Belinda says the same thing about me. How can you watch Fox News or Newsmax all the time? I've excluded CNN altogether. It's just garbage. But I had to wean myself off that. I still get my coffee in the morning. I'm down to 2 cups of coffee a day. I still get my coffee in the morning, and I'll watch about 15 minutes of news, and that's about all I can take. I know of folks who are so obsessed with that. They spend all their time thinking about it. They ruin their testimony by getting on Facebook and arguing politics. Won't you witness to people on Facebook? Huh? Quit putting the junk on. That's a side trip. My point is, you can get so consumed. Listen, we got so many wonderful things to think about as God's people. God has done glorious things for us. We are on the winning side. Right? So he says, you think of those things that are just. Exclude that, accentuate that which is fair. And then number two, avoid that which is filthy. Because he says, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things, he says, are pure, think on these things. Things. Think on pure things. Simply put, get rid of the garbage in your life. Get rid of your romance novels. Now, I'm not talking about Christian romance. If you read that, I guess they're pretty good. I got a pretty good woman who loves Christian romance books. I think they're too mushy. It's about like Hallmark Channel. I can't watch Hallmark Channel. Ain't enough shooting and stuff on it for me. Get rid of your Facebook. Huh? For heaven's sakes, get rid of your porn. Let me tell you something. Young men and women, I want to warn you. Young men and women who get hooked on pornography have a warped view of what love really is. And so consequently, it's almost impossible for them to have a normal relationship because they want to live out those perverted fantasies they see in pornography. It ruins your relationship and your physical relationship with your spouse. I'm just being plain. But you better get rid of the garbage in your life. So he says, think honest thoughts, think holy thoughts. Number three, think happy thoughts. He says, whatsoever things are lovely and whatsoever things are of good report. I got to hurry, but listen, the word lovely there is an interesting word. In the first place, and I think I got it wrong on the screen because I make mistakes when I do this, but the idea is you ought to extend those things which beautify. Whatsoever things are lovely. The word lovely means harmony. It speaks of being gracious, being kind. Now that can go into a myriad of areas, but let me just say this to you. Men and women are different. Can I teach you that lesson? Men and women are different. And the idea as it applies here, we ought to embrace those differences and stop trying to make us all the same. I get sick of the liberals on TV who try to make women and men the same and unisex bathrooms and unisex. Listen, we are different. God made us different. And I prefer it that way personally. For example, now, if you were to take a test today and you ask who's smarter, men or women, I got bad news for you, men. I read that women have 40 more connectors from the left side of the brain to the right side of the brain. You say, what does that mean? Women can access the right side of the brain a whole lot easier than men can. And that makes women more emotional by and large, makes them more relationship-oriented. You know what I ever could figure out? You get a couples together in a restaurant, and one woman says, I got to go to the bathroom. The other one says, well, I'll go with you. You never hear a man say that to one another. Don't you see that a lot? I don't know what you do in there together. I don't know. But there's some things men don't want other men around for, if you know what I mean. Men tend to be more logical. We're left side, left brain thinkers, you know, where women tend to be more emotional and more relationship oriented. But that's all right. We ought to be such that we don't fight against. And by the way, you take that relationship over to the church. The ideal here, when it says whatever sort of things are lovely, don't automatically think bad about somebody because they're different. So he says, you're to extend those things which beautifies, and then second of all, you're to exemplify those things which build. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. Lovely speaks of harmony, it speaks of being beautiful and being attractive, whereas good report speaks talking about good things, talking about something worth talking about. Now, let me relate it back to the men and women thing, because for some reason, I think about that a whole lot. I haven't been able to figure women out. When it comes to, and the ideal here is, folks, we're going to have noble thoughts. Don't give in to the baser thoughts of our nature. Make sense? God did a wonderful thing in making this difference. Now, the difference between men and women lies in a thing called estrogen and a thing called testosterone. Is that, am I saying that right? Estrogen makes a woman generally smaller, generally, Haley's the exception to me. She's bigger than I am. But makes them smaller, more petite, more nurturing, more loving. It's why children don't want daddies when they get hurt, usually. They want mommy. Testosterone makes men stronger and a little more stupid, quite frankly. Now, if you don't believe that, if you got a boy and a girl, you see the difference right away, because testosterone is what makes that little boy want to jump off a roof instead of using a perfectly good ladder. Right? It's our stupid card. Or it makes a 60-year-old man think that he can do something that a 20-year-old man has a hard time doing. That's our stupid card. But we're different, the point is. And folks, we ought to embrace those differences. And again, it goes over to our relationship with one another in God's house. Think things that are lovely. Think of things that are good report. So have happy thoughts. Number four, quickly, have healthy thoughts. He says, if there be any virtue. And when I talk about healthy thoughts, listen, spiritual health is more important than physical health. Think on virtuous things. And then lastly, speak on heavenly things. He says, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, I don't know how to close this out. And by the way, God's worthy of our praise. You ought to be thinking more about how glorious He is. But in Psalm 119, I think I have this on the board, it kind of sums up everything that Paul says here. Listen to what David said. I've got it marked. I can read it to you quickly. David says, listen, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them is great reward. Same idea. The battle is for your mind. I think I have this on the screen, but just keep this in mind. Right thinking will produce right living. Clean up your mind, and your body will follow. Right? Now, show it to you again. Someone says, if you sow a thought, you reap an action. If you sow an action, you reap a habit. If you sow a habit, you reap a character. If you sow a character, you reap an eternal destiny. It begins with your thoughts. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Frank Outlaw said this. He said, watch your thoughts. They become words. Watch your words. They become actions. Watch your actions. They become habits. Watch your habits. They become character. And certainly watch your character. They become your destiny. Feed your mind, folks, on the things of God. Because the battle is for your mind. I like this statement. Somebody says, let the mind of the master be the master of your mind. Now, as we close out this series on pursuing purity, just remember it starts here. If you say, preacher, I can't quit doing this, I can't quit doing that, I've tried. Well, you're attacking the wrong thing. It starts in your mind. Start feeding your mind on the things. May God help us desire purity of life. Again, let's stand and I'll quit.